Good day. Welcome. This is Jordan here with you on WBZ. Thank you so much for being there throughout the United States and Canada. We welcome you and remind you to listen on the web at WBZ1030.com, where we place a lot of our guests, and also where you can link to my site, JordanRich.com, where you'll find out more about guests and books and topics and so forth. Joining me now on the program for a few minutes is Dr. Ronald Goldman. He's the executive director of the Circumcision Resource Center. There's information on everything out there, and this is an important topic for many. We'll find out why. He joins us here. This center is in Boston, correct?
That's right.
All right. You are executive director. You're also the author of a couple of books on the subject, including Circumcision, the Hidden Trauma, and Questioning Circumcision, a Jewish Perspective. You're a PhD in psychology, and judging by the titles of those books, I think we can tell where you stand on this issue. You don't think it's necessarily a good idea?
No, we advise against it, and we go into quite a bit of detail on the website and in the books, and it relates to the extreme pain and trauma of the surgery, actually. It's cutting off a normal, healthy body part. We find that there are sexual and psychological effects from this practice.
Now, this is a practice that's been ongoing for thousands of years. Do we, historically speaking, where and when did it start? Do you know?
Well, the best historical information we have is it probably started maybe about 5,000 years ago among the Egyptians. And one interesting thing was that when Jews were slaves in Egypt, they were circumcised. Some think it was done as a matter of marking the slaves, indicating that they were captives and so forth. Just more globally speaking, about 80% of the world does not circumcise. Mostly it's a Muslim practice. The United States is the only country in the world that circumcises most of its male infants for non-religious reasons, and the current rate is about 56%, which varies quite a bit from region to region in the country.
What would be the given reason thousands of years ago and today for circumcision? I've never heard from people who have had issues with it. I will from you in a minute, but what is? I thought for a long time that it was a more healthy choice to make.
Well, no? what tends to happen is in those cultures or countries that practice it, they come up with various reasons to justify the practice. And here in the United States, it is thought to be to have medical benefits. But that's sort of a cultural belief. When we look at the actual data and the studies that have been done on this, and this has been done many times by national medical organizations here in the United States and around the world. Here in the United States, it's the American Academy of Pediatrics that studies this issue, among many others. And they issue a policy position statement from time to time. Their last statement was in 1999. And in that statement, which was in the media, they found that there was no proven medical benefit and they don't recommend it. And this has been consistent all along for about the last 35 years when national medical organizations have issued their policy statements. None of them have ever recommended the practice.
Talking with Dr. Ron Goldman, he is the executive director of the Circumcision Resource Center. What happens at your center? You obviously counsel people, I guess?
Right, we counsel people. We get calls from parents who are not sure whether or not to circumcise, who request information. We have literature, books, videos, and audio tapes to help get some of this information out. Sometimes we hear from circumcised men who are wondering who they can talk to. And then sometimes we hear from folks who are, say, have a friend or a family member who may be having a child in the future and want to know how to offer some information to them or what information is available.
Talk about, from your research and perspective, this hidden trauma. I mean, there are a lot of things in childhood. The one I don't know if I can recall that fabulous moment 8 days after my birth, having the bris and all that. There was a lot of screaming and yelling. I don't remember it.
Yeah, well, that's pretty common, of course. People don't remember much before they were 4 or 5 years old. I would ask listeners to imagine that they are being forcefully restrained. Sometimes in the hospital, for example, this is done on a device which straps the baby down on his back. And then the most sensitive, pleasurable part of their body is being cut off. How would they feel? Certainly as adults, we would feel quite horrified, perhaps very angry, fearful, a lot of strong feelings, or we might even pass out from the overwhelming nature of this kind of experience. Well, that's not unlike how a little baby feels, and sometimes we tend not to take the experience of little babies the same way as older children or adults, because we cannot remember that experience ourselves. But I can assure you it is traumatic, and there's lots of medical research that confirms that fact and shows changes in behavior and physiological changes in infants after they've been circumcised.
Now talk a little bit, if you will, about, you mentioned the sexual performance of people, of men, circumcised versus non-circumcised. What kind of data exists, Dr. Goldman, that points out, you know, the either the benefits or the detriment to circumcision? What do you have for me?
There was a study that was just published this past month in a British medical journal, which showed that circumcision removes not just the most sensitive part, but the five most sensitive parts. And there are other studies that show that the foreskin comprises between one-third and one-half of the highly sensitive tissue on the penile shaft. And in the adult, that is up to about 12 square inches. The foreskin is a double layer, a movable sleeve of tissue, which has various functions, including protection, enhancing sexual pleasure, and facilitating intercourse. So cutting off this very sensitive part of the body reduces sexual sensitivity, but circumcised men wouldn't know what they're missing since they haven't had the basis for comparison. We have had contact with men who were circumcised as adults, and one describes the decrease in sensitivity is like seeing in black and white compared to seeing in color.
Why would these adults decide to be circumcised at that point? What was the reason?
Well, sometimes they're actually talked into it by a doctor if they have a medical problem or foreskin irritation or something. American medical doctors are very often taught that circumcision is the way to treat these kinds of problems when there are other less invasive treatments.
In terms of, well, first of all, let's give the website. It's pretty easy to remember. What, circumcision.org?
Right. Okay. That's our Circumcision Resource Center website.
And as we look at this issue, how many, again, in the population currently are leaving the hospitals circumcised? How many little baby boys?
It's 56%, and I believe that represents about 1.2 million a year.
So 44% are not.
That's right.
Okay, so it's almost, it's not even, but it's pretty close, isn't it?
It's getting there. It actually peaked around 1970 when the national rate was around 85%. And understand that the rate varies considerably in the Midwest. For example, it approaches 80%. In the West Coast, it's in the mid-30s. So it's quite a range.
Talk about, for a second, what women are saying to you or what women are saying to their husbands, boyfriends, whatever. What role do women have in all this? Because it is a very personal issue with with men. I mean, I'm a man, and I'm happy to say I'm circumcised. I mean, it's no big deal. But what impact do the ladies have?
Well, sometimes we mention that this can be considered a woman's issue in the sense that women have their maternal instinct. And when there's a disagreement in a couple, it's more likely that the woman tends not to want to do the circumcision, where the man has a tendency to want to circumcise. Sometimes he says, I want him to look like me. And one response to that argument could be, well, if you were missing a finger or a toe, would you want to cut off the same body part on your little boy? So that kind of analogy can be used in various kinds of reasons that are used to defend circumcision. Just consider another body part, and would you use the same reason to go through with cutting off that part?
Now, I haven't read your book, but one title is Questioning Circumcision, A Jewish Perspective. It's been part of Jewish lore for thousands of years. Jews, of course, practice other rules of hygienic rules, including rules of the kashrut or kosher rules. What is your take on
the tradition that exists today, which has been going on for thousands of years, the tradition of the bris, 8 days after the baby's birth, etc. Tell me what that book is focusing on.
It's basically addressed to Jews who are non-traditional or not Orthodox. Obviously, those who want to practice Jewish religion in accordance with the Torah and Jewish law will do that, and I understand that's their perspective. The fact is that the majority of Jews, some say approaching 80 or 90%, consider their experience and reason in making decisions and not simply go by what it says in the Torah. A large majority of Jews do not believe, for example, that the Torah is the literal word of God. So there's a wide spectrum of opinion.
Yeah, but many Jews also believe, though, that the laws and the traditions have some bearing on the actual practical life around the people in the ancient days. They ate healthier meats and healthier foods. It's one of the reasons that the kosher rules exist, no?
Well, I'm not sure about the origin of kosher rules, but I can say that those who have looked at the question of the origin of Jewish circumcision say that there's no connection. It's not done for medical reasons or health reasons. It's there simply because it was commanded by God in the Torah. And as I say, most Jews do not follow the literal teachings in the Torah. They're open to making decisions based on some other factors. And we have been in touch with hundreds of Jews, for example, who have chosen not to circumcise. So what we're basically saying here is this is a choice. And if you're Jewish and you choose not to circumcise, you're not alone. And Jewish communities around the world have differences regarding circumcision practice. It's not universal. Even in Israel, there are Jews who do not circumcise.
Right. And one more question. It's called a movement throughout the nation. How big a movement is this, the questioning of circumcision? I mean, you're involved in it every day with your center. Can you give me a sense as to what's happening nationwide?
Well, based on the data, we can say that about 44% of baby boys are not being circumcised. So that in itself would suggest a very strong support for this position. But there are continuing reports that come out in the media from time to time that claim a benefit here or there. And it's important that other perspectives be representative. Sometimes the media do not cover various perspectives on this issue because of the controversies involved and so forth. So we're here to, you know, try to give another point of view, to give a perspective that is not simply a medical perspective, but a psychological one. And some even claim there's an ethical issue here, that circumcision violates the medical tenet to first do no harm. And there are even some physicians and nurses who refuse to participate. So there are other perspectives, and that's what we try to raise awareness about.
Well, thank you for joining me for a few to introduce yourself to the audience. And again, Dr. Goldman, your organization is the Circumcision Resource Center. And the web address, pretty simple, why don't I let you tell us?
Okay, it's at circumcision.org.
Okay, very interesting. As we move through the 21st century, we look at things with new perspectives. Thank you so much for joining me here.
And thanks for the opportunity to be with you.
Dr. Ronald Goldman, and the subject is circumcision and the questioning of it. Just another topic of interest here on The Jordan Ritz Show, and we have more straight ahead on WBZ.